It's a blessing to see each one of you here this morning. Greetings in Jesus' name, and we welcome the visitors that are here with us. Lots of fewer people than normal, maybe. It's good to see each face and each smile as we gather together to worship. We talked in the Sunday school lesson about doctrine. And Brother David said he hopes when I get up here I teach sound doctrine. I don't know if he said it quite in those words, but one of the things about doctrine is sometimes it's like playing a game of baseball, as you feel like you're teaching either one corner or the other. Sometimes you're way out in one field or the other. We also talked a lot about the word sober this morning, and my message title is not very sober, but I believe it's biblical. You may open up your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 for a few text verses. Second Corinthians chapter 9, I'm going to read verses 6 to 8 to get started here. And this is in the middle of two chapters. Chapters 8 and 9, Paul is talking to the Corinthian church about their giving, and I believe they were in the middle of lifting an offering, or getting ready to lift an offering to send back to Jerusalem, if I have it right. And in chapter 8, he's talking about how the Macedonian church had outdone themselves in giving. And then he talks a little bit about the example of Jesus, and then he tells them that Titus is coming to visit the Corinthian church, and they're going to get ready to take this offering. And breaking in here, chapter 9, verse 6, this is Paul speaking to the church. He said, "This I say, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he has purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work." And I draw my title for the message from that phrase in verse 7, "God loveth a cheerful giver," but I've changed one word. I titled the message, "God loves a hilarious giver." Not a very sober word when we stop and think about it. But if you look that word up in the Greek, the Greek word is hilaros, I believe it's said, which is the form of the word hilarious as we have it in our English language today. So I don't believe it's doing injustice to think of that word in that way. We think of the word cheerful, we think of the word, a cinnamon can be hilarious. Just thinking about this word here a little bit, hilarious. God loves a hilarious giver. We think of the word cheerful, we think of joyful, we think of someone that is hilarious. They're always laughing. There's a bountiful laughter going on, or a bountiful happiness. We think of something that's not stingy. Someone's hilarious. They're not stingy with their mirth, but they're full of mirth. And you get the attitude of a Christmas spirit, if I can say it that way. I don't know if you can follow that train of thought or not, but when you're out shopping for Christmas and the people are happy, and there's this feeling that you get, a feeling of hilarity, a feeling of mirth, feeling of being joyful. Now, just a word to mothers. I know this is Mother's Day, and this message is not specifically given to mothers, although I believe mothers are givers in many, many ways. Mothers are hilarious givers in many, many ways. And I believe we can learn a lot from watching the mothers among us when we think about this area of giving. Our mothers have given us physical life. Most of the early years of our lives, we were recipients of their generous gifts. of love, of provision. So just put that in there. God loves a hilarious giving. Just a few thoughts in introduction. The opportunities to give today are endless. We can give in our home. We can give in our church. We can give in our society. We can give money. We can give hospitality. We can give a smile. We can give kind words. We can give encouragement. We can give love, time, energy. We give the good news of salvation. We forgive. Same idea. And as I go through the message, I'll maybe switch back and forth sometimes between this idea of giving and forgiving. And we give words of life. We give life-giving. We learn to live by giving all we can. And the challenge for us today is, am I giving all I can give, or am I living with a lot held back for me? You have your Bibles open there to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I want to catch a verse here. Second Corinthians chapter 8, and in the first seven verses here, like I said, he's talking about the giving of the Macedonians, and he's comparing them, or he's using them to teach the Corinthians. And in verse 7 of chapter 8, he says, "Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and in utterance and knowledge and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also." And the grace he's referring to is the grace of giving. "See that you abound in this grace also." And that's the thrust of the message this morning as we think about God loving a hilarious giver. As we move around in life, to encourage us, encourage myself, my attitude, what do I have that someone else doesn't have? What do I have that I can share? What do I have that I can give someone today? You all have something to give. We all do. I just have 7 points of the message this morning. We're just going to move right into them. 7 principles of the hilarious giver. Number one, a hilarious giver recognizes that he will never outgive Jesus. You can look at the verse in Hebrews 12:4 where it talks about Jesus pouring out his blood for us. We can't outgive that. It can't be done. 2 Corinthians 9:15, we were in that chapter, it says, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. God sent his son Jesus," and it's an unspeakable gift, and we recognize that we cannot outgive Jesus Christ. We cannot outgive his example. Turn with me to John 13. If you would, John 13. We'd like to read about 5 verses there. This is the passage we usually read at feet washing, but I'm thinking about the example of Jesus in giving, the example of Jesus in loving. John 13, verse 1. "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he was come from God and went to God, he rises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself, and he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded." And we know the rest of the story, but Jesus, the words I want to catch there especially is it says, Jesus loved his disciples until the end. Now you can take that a few ways, but one... One aspect of giving, one aspect of loving, is this example of Jesus. He loved them unto the uttermost, unto the end, to the highest degree. And we notice here that he was not his own, but he was his father's, and he knew that the Father had given all things, and he was just passing these things along. He was passing this love along. He was giving as he had been given. The example of Jesus in giving. We cannot outgive Jesus. Am I committed to giving of myself until the uttermost, until the end of my life, wherever God places me? My wife's grandmother that just passed away, she was giving on her deathbed. She was giving what she had. And I can't help but think of Sister Rachel there in the kitchen at that old church. She was giving until the end. Those last weeks of her life, she was giving her uttermost. Is that my desire? Is that my commitment this morning? Point number two, a hilarious giver learns to live with an open hand. Now, there's two ways we can live life. We can live life that what's mine is yours, or I can live life with a clenched fist and I'm going to hold on to everything, all my resources, I'm going to not share them with anybody, and I'm going to hold on tight. But as Christians, we are stewards of someone else's resources. Everything we have in our hand is actually not our own. We stop and think about it. And if the Lord has a need for his resources, who am I to try to hang on to what is his? I had to think of the story there when Jesus was ready to enter Jerusalem. We call it the triumphal entry. And in Matthew 21, he sent one of his servants and he said, I need an animal to ride on. Go over here and you're going to find one. And if they say, what are you doing? Why are you taking that donkey? Say, tell them the Lord has need of it. Remember the story. Whose donkey was it that was over there? Was it so-and-so? Yes, it was, but it was the Lord's, and the Lord was just using some of his resources for himself to ride on. And if the donkey happens to be in my possession, who am I to tell the Lord he can't use it? So it is with all our possessions. With Moses, he was getting ready to go into Pharaoh, and God said unto him, what do you have in your hand? And Moses said, a rod. And that story's in Exodus 4:2. And I forget all the details, but God told him to throw it on the ground and it became a snake. And God used what was in Moses' hand, but it was God's resource and he was teaching Moses how to use it. A hilarious giver learns to live with an open hand, not clenching on to what I suppose is mine, but allowing it to be used for the glory of God. Some of us know a brother that had the Lord's van. And it was the Lord's van, and that's how he referred to it. And however the Lord wanted to use that van, it was free. If you needed to use it, go ahead. Just some practical examples of what I'm talking about here. We have a biblical example of Ananias and Sapphira in Acts 5. And this is an example of someone, of a person who hung on to their stuff. And they went in, they sold their property, and they went into the disciples and they said, here's the money for a property. We want it to be used for the good of the community, for the good of the church. Because that's what people were doing in that time. They were selling all they had and sharing it together. And Peter asked Ananias, he said, is this all the price of the property? And Ananias said, yes. And he fell over dead because no, it was not. He was lying. He was holding on to some of the gain he had gotten while everyone else was giving all. learning to live with an open hand. Job said this, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." The Lord is the one that gives what we have, and the Lord has the right to use it, and I don't have the right to hang on to it tightly. Point number three. A hilarious giver understands the proper balance between giving and receiving. Paul brings to mind the words of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." And so we seek to be a giver, not a receiver, but we understand that someone needs to be the receiver. Because if there's no receiver, there's no giver. But we counter that with Luke 12:48, "For unto whomsoever much is given, of him much shall be required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more." And so we understand, as a receiver, if you're on the receiving end, all that's happening is you are more accountable because you have been given more. And what are you going to do with what you have been given? So we understand that balance between giving and receiving. And when we meet God, we're going to have to be given account. God's going to say, "What did you do with what you were given?" The proper balance between giving and receiving. And I think we need to be thinking about paying it forward. So many times we're concerned about paying someone back. But in this concept of a hilarious giving and of giving and receiving, God is wondering, what have you done with what you have been given? Okay? Are you just going to turn that back, or are you going to turn that forward and extend your hand to someone else with what you have been given and give to them? Point number four. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 9. Point number four is this. A hilarious giver develops a heart of compassion that enables and teaches others to give. I'll repeat that. A hilarious giver develops a heart of compassion that enables and teaches others to give. And we'll look at this as an example of Jesus here in Matthew chapter 9. You see, when you have hilarious laughter, we have this saying, laughter is contagious, right? So it is with giving. When you have generous, hilarious giving that is moved by compassion, it's contagious. It can be. You can encourage others by your giving, by your attitude, how you hold on to your stuff and how you give and receive and how you follow Jesus' example. You encourage others, and it catches on. It can catch on. And this is what Jesus did here. Matthew 9, starting at verse 35. "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." And so you see, it says he had compassion, but then we need to keep moving on to chapter 10, because it says what he did with his compassion. Not only was he healing the sick, that was part of his compassion, and he was doing all these miracles, that was born out of his compassion, yes. But it says in chapter 10, verse 1, "When he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manners of sickness and all manner of disease." And then if you read down in the chapter, he sent them out two by two, and he taught them how to go do what he was doing. See, Jesus knew, if I can say it this way and not be biblically incorrect, he knew there was more work than he could do. He knew his ministry here on earth was just to inspire others to do the same thing as he was doing and to empower them to do it. And that's what he did. And so it is, as we develop compassion, we will be moved to inspire others to follow our example. He gave the 12 disciples power to do what he was doing. Others learn by watching you. Mothers, your children learn by what you do each day. Fathers, the same way. And we have just a little example. If there's any young children here today and they put money in the offering, who gave them the money to put it in the offering? Most likely it came from dad's wallet. But someone was teaching and enabling somebody else to learn how to give. That's a hilarious giver. Point number five, a hilarious giver learns to give and forgive extravagantly. We have Peter coming to Jesus in Matthew 18, and he said, "Lord, how often do I need to forgive my brother?" Seven times? What did Jesus tell him? He said, no, 70 times seven. You do it again and again and again, and you lose count. It just becomes a way of life. Forgiving, giving. Luke 6:38, "Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." Extravagant. You shake it down, you press it down, you make sure the other person is getting the better end of the deal. You tip the scales in their favor. You fill it a little fuller than you think it should be filled. See, naturally we're not inclined that way. Naturally I'm inclined, like I said before, to hold on to it for myself. And so when I'm selling somebody something or I'm giving someone something, I'll make it look just full enough that it looks, you know, it doesn't look nasty or it looks good. But somehow I got to learn that my natural inclinations aren't right, and I got to follow the Spirit of God, and I got to dump a little more in and pour a little more on and let it overflow a little bit more, until it becomes a habit and I learn to give and forgive extravagantly. Point number six. A hilarious giver knows that he is merely a channel for God's resources. We've been hinting around at this. We've been thinking of this. We thought about how Jesus there in John 13 knew that he was only, that God had given things into his hand, and that's how he could give. We have an example in Acts 3 of Peter and John going up to the temple and praying, and there was this crippled beggar sitting by the way, and he was begging. And what did Peter say to him? He said, "Such as I have, I'll give you. I'll give you what I have." And he gave him the gift of healing, and he said, "Rise up and walk." Freely you have received, freely give. Matthew 10:8. Thinking about this thing, we are merely a channel. A hilarious giver is merely a channel. And you can choose to shut off that valve and let the water pile up in your pond, in your lake. And you can choose for there not to be any outlet and for that water to become stale. Or you can choose to let that clean water keep flowing through you as a channel. And your pond, your lake is going to have an outlet, and it's not going to become the Dead Sea. It's going to be a living lake. And that's our choice. Because whatever I have here in my pond is just the result of what's coming in upstream. And that upstream side is God pouring things into my life. If all you have is a smile, then give the best and biggest smile you can give to everyone you meet. You never know what that will do for them. I had to think of the words of the song, "I'm only a sinner saved by grace." And that song says, "Naught have I gotten but what I received. I'm only a sinner saved by grace." And God is the one that's pouring the resources into my life. And what am I going to do as a channel? Am I going to shut off the valve, or am I going to let that valve flow wide open and flow out the other side? Point number 7. A hilarious giver gives his best with no expectation of recognition in this life. A hilarious giver gives his best with no expectation of recognition in this life. Now, we know there is the law of sowing and reaping. We read that verse, I think, in the beginning, 2 Corinthians 9:6. "He which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he which sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully." And that applies, that was directly in this context of giving. Jesus put it another way, maybe, when he talked about laying up treasures in heaven. And is that not what you're doing when you're giving? But if you think about the illustration of sowing, and we're so far removed from this culture of sticking things in the ground and seeing a plant come up, or we're removed from the farming culture, but and even farther removed from the culture of the Bible. But one of the things they did when they harvested their grain from the year before, and they needed to save some to plant the next year, they needed to save the seed. They sorted out and saved the best seed. They sorted out the seed, and they only saved to replant the kernels or the wheat grains that did not have the deformities, that did not have the ones that had an opportunity to grow. And that's where I say we need to give our best. We don't give what's left. We don't give leftovers. We put the best seed in the ground. We give the best we have to somebody else. And we will reap what we sow. Even if I said we don't seek for this personal recognition in the life today, someday every deed we do is going to be accounted for when we stand before God, and it will be made known. God knows. God is watching. Matthew 6:2-3, "When thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest thine alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand does." We're not making a scene of our hilarious giving, but we're doing it discreetly in the context of the church. We're not letting one brother know what the other brother is doing. We're not just doing it for that recognition that say, "Ah, oh, they gave that much." No. Our recognition will be when we stand before God and we hear those words, "Well done." I just have, in closing, the words of a song. I don't know that this is a very familiar song, but it's one that I grew up listening to. And as I was studying for this message, I had to think of it. I think the Miller Four sang it back in the day. That goes back a few years. It's called the Giver Song. "Happy is the giver who's generously giving, giving with joy, giving with love. giving till he thought there's nothing left to give. Taking what the Lord was giving to him and starting all over to do it again, we learn to live by giving all we can give. When you meet someone who is down and their heart has been broken by everyone around, take the time to make their day worthwhile. Give them all you can. All they may need is a smile. Happy is the giver who's generously giving, giving with joy, giving with love, giving till he thought there was nothing left to give. Taking what the Lord was giving to him and starting all over to do it again, we learn to live by giving all we can give. Once a babe was born in Bethlehem, he was given to save the world from all its shame and sin. What a sacrifice for God it must have been. So give him all you can. You'll never outgive him. And it repeats the chorus again. Then the last verse is, so now as we walk down life's road together, may we be willing in every way to give and take each day. Sharing love that only comes from God. Live your lives for him. Oh, then this song you'll sing. Happy is the giver who's generously giving, giving with joy, giving with love, giving till he thought there was nothing left to give, taking what the Lord was giving to him, and starting all over to do it again. We learn to live by giving all we can give. That's Neil for prayer.